Praise the Lord, everybody in this place. Why don't we do this, everybody that can, let's stand. We're going to worship God together. And I want you to do me a favor if you can. If you want to come out of your seat and come on down and worship with us, we'll do it together corporately at the altar. My last thing I want to ask you is this. Look at someone around you and tell them to say, you've almost seen the end of January. Come on, you can do that. You've almost seen the end of January, which simply means that if you didn't die, God's got some great things still in store for you. Amen. I command my soul to bless the Lord. I command my hands to give him praise. I command my voice to sing his praise. Let's get ready to worship the Lord. Here we go.
Bless the Lord. Boys.
Somebody shout hallelujah in here. God, we just want more of you. We just want more of you, God. We just want to experience you the way that you would have us to experience you. You're awesome. Found in Jesus, all we I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Say it with me. I need thee.
Every hour. your Holy Spirit in this place today. God, it's nothing that religion can create or manipulate. But God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you make yourself so real to each and every one of us that's in this room. If you just need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, we're going to sing that one more time. I want you to slide your hands to heaven, and I want you to sing it so loud that the roof starts to rattle. I want you to let God know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And God, there's nobody else on this planet that I seek after more than you. And I want you to keep your hands up right after. I'm going to release a fresh anointing in this place. God's going to touch your life. So I want you to sing it with everything you got. Don't hold anything back. You need to stand, stand. You want to sit, sit. You want to lay it on the floor, lay it on the floor. But this is your time to tell your Messiah, your Jesus, I want more. Release a fresh anointing upon everyone whose hands are lifted high to heaven. In Jesus' name, I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that each one, Lord, that's receiving will just get so filled with your Spirit today. God, not one will leave this house without declaring, I have been in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, we give you all the honor and all the glory, for there's no one we want more than you, Jesus. There's no one we want more than you. Father, we thank you for this awesome privilege of literally standing in the actual glory room of heaven. Father, I thank you that we can sing to you. Lord, some of us can't even sing. But God, you hear our hearts, you hear our voices, and Lord, you are pleased this morning. Lord, I thank you for the honor and the privilege of worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, I said, everybody said, I said, everybody said, on your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome three or four folks and say, hey, good morning. I'm in the presence of Jesus. don't sit down. Make sure you say hello to somebody. I see so many people sitting down. I need everybody to stand up. Everybody stand up and go find somebody you don't know and say, well, good morning. You look just marvelous today.
We want to just take the time to thank you for supporting the cafe. As a friendly reminder, the cafe will be open before 9 a.m. service and between the 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. service. We also ask that you refrain from bringing any food items, any coffee or other drink items into the sanctuary, either from the cafe or from outside the building. Thank you so much, and we appreciate your support.
People of God, it's coming! April 1st, 2016, we're celebrating our pastor, Dr. Spencer. You gotta be there. It's his birthday celebration. It's a golden moment. It's gonna take place, and we gotta see you there. So get your tickets by February 15th for $50. If you get your tickets after February 15th, they're gonna be $60. Listen, don't waste time. Get your clothes, get your hair done, get your hair cut. We're gonna celebrate our pastor, Dr. Spencer.
Same mess, don't waste your life. Yeah.
Have you ever felt like you've been talking to the wall?
Just want somebody to talk to.
Or maybe you felt that you had nobody to lean on. That hurt.
You may need H-Links.
Seriously?
What?
We have H-Link small groups specifically to help you get connected. We have them specifically set up on a Friday night as well as a Sunday night. Sign up right online at histabernacle.com. Click on the hub and sign up there, or come see us at the hub in the foyer. Join an H-Link small group today. Praise the Lord. How many of you have joined an H-Link already? Oh, look at, hands are up. Go on now. We have about, I think, 35 to 40 people that have signed up for H-Links out of 1,300. What these are is your opportunity to get to know other people. You see, you can't know anybody if you don't go hang out with anybody. And so I want to challenge you to be part of that. This morning, we'd like to welcome all of our guests. If you're our first-time guest this morning, we're not going to make you stand or anything. But if you'll raise your hand as a first-time guest, hey, how are you? First-time guest? No, you're not a first-time guest. Your beard is older than that, for goodness sakes. By Melissa G. Where's Melissa G? Where? I just want to welcome all of our guests. Can we give them a big hand clap this morning? Now, if you're a first-time guest and you have not yet received a guest packet, that's a means of free mug and all that stuff. If you did not receive that, we want to bless you with one. If you'll raise your hand up, someone's going to run one to you real quickly. If you're a guest here, you didn't get one yet, and we'd want to get one to you. That's right, Mom and Dad. Our furthest traveling guest this morning, are you ready? South Africa. Our in-laws are in, not outlaws. Our in-laws are in. Can someone bring them a gift packet? Very good. Right up front, our in-laws from South Africa. If we could have you stand up. Pastor Clur and his wife, Janita. Turn and wave to everybody. That's Jade's mom and dad. And when we did the wedding, it was right out there where they are. We're so blessed. Thank you so much for being here. It's a long ways to come. Hope she's worth it, though, isn't she? Yeah, she's all right. You'll keep her. All right. So we're very excited you're here. Also, we want to welcome our online campus. Many people don't know, but every single week we have last week was 97 different computers online from all over the world. This morning we had California. We've had two places in Florida. Where's your husband? He's in Ohio. We have an Ohio. He's driving through Ohio. He's watching live stream. So we have people literally all over the world. Barbados is usually online. And we used to have, and I don't know if we still do, I need to ask. We used to have Dubai on every week as well. God is blessing us online. So let's give our online campus a hand clap this morning. We want you to know that we love you. What we'd like to offer is our online campus. This is only for the onliners. This way you have something special just for you. If you would like to receive a His Tabernacle decal for your car or for wherever you are, just so that every time you go by, you know you have a whole family that loves you very, very much, we would love to have you email us at histab@histabernacle.com, H-I-S-T-A-B, @histabernacle.com, and we'll send one right out to you so that you can have it at your house and know that you have a family no matter where you are. I know Pennsylvania watches every single week. And I'm excited that our family's growing even online. Now, if you can be here, we'd rather you be in the house. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But if you can't, then you know you can jump right online and watch us via live stream, both 9 and 11 a.m. services. Let's bless Pastor Rhonda.
Hello, I love being in the house of God. What a powerful time in worship today. Thank you so much. God really is speaking a message. From the time I woke up this morning, I've been hearing the same thing and all the way through worship, and that is more of the Lord. I was praying while we were in worship that God would cause men in the house to have a love for him in his house like they have never had before. Women in the house, grandparents and children in the house, that we would have a love for God in his house more than ever before. And in that, I want to share, we have an incredible youth ministry in this house. An incredible youth ministry. If you are not bringing your children out to youth ministry, you are missing it. They don't come and play games. They come and they meet with God in this house. They have powerful services every single week with time at the altar and salvations happening. This past Friday night, they do their own small groups. Friday night, Corinne had her small group. 9 girls did Faith Walls, and they're building their vision for the year of 2016, as Pastor's been preaching. Saturday night, a group of the men and their small group. There were 6 young men in 9th grade, I believe it is, that had an awesome time in the power of God last night for 2 hours. Young men on their knees with their hands lifted, worshiping God, having life-altering moments in Jesus. So if you aren't bringing your children out to our youth ministry, you are missing a move of God for your children. We also continue after youth ministry now. We have our young adults, Chad and Jade, stand up real quick. We just started. This will be our 3rd week. Tuesday night, young adults from 6 to 8. 6 to 8, young adults Tuesday night. 19 graduated from high school to 28. You're all welcome to come. It's been a powerful time this past week. They had 30 young adults. And again, they're not playing games. They're meeting with Jesus, getting that peace and that joy and just that fill up. We need more of of God. When I woke up this morning and began to read and study, that was the passage that he brought me to. And Paul talks about a church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this church began to have, just spontaneously, began to have a desire and a love and a passion for God like they had never had before. A passion for God in his house. And now this church had been through it. They had been through tribulation and grief and trial and pain, and they were in extreme poverty. But something happened when they began to spontaneously have a new love and passion for God and his house. They began to give, even in their poverty, and they gave generously and with joy. And the word of God says they had no lack. They had no lack. Let me read this passage, 2 Corinthians 8:15. As the scripture says, those who gathered a lot, kept a lot to themselves, had nothing left over. And those who gathered only little had more than enough. So we began talking about stewardship last week, and the best way to live is 70, 10, 10, 10. Living off that little, where it says in this passage, those who gathered only little for themselves had more than enough. So living off of 70% of your income, first and foremost, taking off the top, the tithe, which is holy to the Lord, his 10%. And the second 10% is for a functioning savings account. That's so when the tires go, or the washing machine goes, or you have Christmas or birthdays, you always have money set aside for that. And then the third 10% is for your investment for the future. So those that gathered little for themselves never had lack. And that's what God desires from us. And it comes from a heart, not from a law. It's not, we don't do it. The people in 2 Corinthians, they didn't do it because a law demanded it, but out of sheer joy and love and passion for God in his house. And that is how we should always give, with generosity and joy and love and passion for God's house. And he will make sure we never have lack. The house of God and the children of God should never be in lack. When we walk according to God's principles, joyfully and generously, we will not lack. And you can start today. You see these people in Corinthians? They weren't special. They had been beat down. They were struggling. They were in pain. They were so poor. They didn't even have to give, yet they gave everything. They gave generously, and they had no lack. So no matter what your situation is, because, you know, you can make six figures and still be poor because you're living off of 100% of your income. No matter what situation you're in today, if you invoke with joy and love the principles of God, you can turn around your situation. So start somewhere. Even if it's $5 a week into those savings accounts, start somewhere, because the children of God should never be in lack. We need to be good stewards with our finances. Are you ready to enter into the kingdom principles today? Let's stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration to the Lord. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. Child of God. Come on and give your tithes and offerings and evoke the kingdom principles in your life. If you're watching by a live stream, click on the giving button and you can give right along with us.
When I think about Jesus, what he done for me. When I think about Jesus, I'll be set free. I can dance, dance. Thank you.
I was just getting going. Great. Wow! Here we go. Ready? We'll do dance and we'll do jump. When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how he set me free. Gonna dance, 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 dance. Jesus, how he set me free. I'm gonna dance, 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 dance,
dance, dance all night.
Go ahead, Pastor.
When I think about Jesus, how he set me free. Oh, when I think about Jesus, how he set me free. I'm gonna jump, 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 jump. Praise the Lord. They only let me do that every once in a while, so don't worry about it. You're all right. It's one of these days I got to bring my guitar and do I Got It again. It's been so long. Who has never heard me sing I Got It? Who has heard me sing I Got It? Ooh. Who has never heard me sing I Got It? Wow. It's been a long time. Nah. I got brain. No, I can't do it. I can't. I have to
Come
have
on,
a guitar.
Pastor, you can do it.
I got
Come on,
it.
Pastor, you can do it.
I got it. I got it. I got it. Something about that Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it. I got it. I got it. You guys come out. I got it.
I got it.
I got it. Or something. Something about that Holy Ghost. I got it. Something about that Holy Ghost. I can't explain. Come on now. I got it in my hands. I got it in my hands. Got it in my feet. Well, I got it in my walk. Got it in my talk. Well, I got it in my hands. Got it in my feet. Well, I got it in my walk. Got it in my talk. Well, I got it. I got it. Oh, something. Something about that Holy Ghost. Can't explain it, but I got it. It's a little bit too slow. Let's pick it up. I got it.
My
talk, well, I got it in my hands, got it in my Yeah, so sick, aren't they? Just praise the Lord. It's just so exciting to know that when you go to the house of God, you don't have to be bored. So many people go to church and are bored to death. I went to this church one time. No lie, man. I'm not desecrating church, but I went to this church one time, and it was so boring. After 15 minutes, I looked at my watch and said, "Dear God, kill us all." It was just so bad. I got to go to a church where it's going to like be a little bit like heaven, where I got a reason to shout. Can I hear an amen? I've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not dead. I'm alive. So many Christians are old dead, sitting in their church, sitting in their pew, facing up into singing a nice little song. At I believe that God is filled with the Holy Ghost and with power, and the Spirit of the living God is going to worship Jesus with everything he's got. Can I hear an amen? See, you can't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Some people are afraid they look stupid. You know, I used to be afraid of that. I used to be afraid people make fun of me, you know, because I would jump around. And, you know, there was this girl that I was in drama with. Her name was Queenie. As you can tell, Queenie was African-American. And Queenie and I were in drama together. And Queenie looked at me and she said, "Oh, white boy, you're so bad." And Queenie, she used to make fun of me. And we would dance together. And I was really, really bad. But she was a really good dancer. And we would dance and shout. You know, there comes a place you get sick and tired of caring about what people think about you. You know, you honestly get to that place. "Well, I'm reserved." You're a liar. You actually believe you're reserved? If I took you out in the middle of the lake and threw you out of a boat and you couldn't swim, you aren't going to go, "Help me. I'm reserved. I don't want to shout too loud. Help me, please." No way, man. Help! Somebody send me a rescue. Someone send me a lifesaver. I'm drowning here. You're going to shout it out. Listen, now, I don't know about you. My Jesus has sent me something to be saved for. I got a reason to shout. I don't got to be quiet. "Well, you just don't understand. I'm just very reserved." There is no such thing as reserve. When you get in the presence of the Lord, I don't think you're going to be going, "Hey, man, how are you?" When you see Jesus face to face for the first time, you're probably going to fall on your face as of like dead. And then when you get up, you're going to put a little shuffle in your feet. Just like when you put a little shuffle in your feet, we had a worship pastor once. She said, "Pastor, just do these motions and you won't look stupid." I said, "Okay." Not bad. I just like to have fun, man. I'm just not one of these guys that cares about what you think about me. I want to have fun in the house of God. And I want God to be pleased with my life. And when you care more about what other people think about you than what God thinks about you, you're already doomed. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I haven't even started preaching yet. I felt good on that. This is the year of... I said, this is the year of... That was better. This is the year of... kingdom seed. We already went through a whole year. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The fact is if you do not seek God first, you do not seek the kingdom first, then you do not know how the kingdom runs. The kingdom is not a religion. It's not an institution. The kingdom is a location. It is a God developed kingdom, and God has and runs it his dimension, his way, not yours. Turn to somebody and say, "God lives his way, not my way." A lot of people like to tell God what to do, but the fact is that God does it his way. Amen. Someone's having pain underneath your rib cage on your left side. In the name of Jesus, I command the pain to go. Lord, by the power of God in Jesus' name, that the cause of it be gone out of their body in the name of Jesus. We had a great miracle this week, baby miracle, where the cervix was thinning, correct? Is that what it is? And in one day, it doubled? It doubled back. That doesn't happen. Amen? So it elongated too, right? Elongated and doubled in thickness. That does not happen. That was a miracle that God did this week in this house. As well as there was other folks came up last week and said, I got a miracle, Pastor. I have not had, young lady came up and she said, "My dad, I laid hands on him, I believe last week. Was it a man of God 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, he had dizziness and God took all his dizziness away, hasn't had a sense." God heals bodies. Turn to someone and say, God loves to heal. This is the year of kingdom seed, and God's passion is this, that you become a tree that's planted by the water, and that your leaf will never wither, and that whatever you touch, everything about you shall prosper. There are a bunch of folks out there who preach against prosperity. In fact, they've said to me, are you one of those prosperity gospel people? And I said, absolutely. Makes them really mad. It's really fun to watch their face. And they say, well, how can you be a prosperity person? I said, it's really easy. It's better than being a poor person. And I said, you know what? The truth is that every single person believes in prosperity. Everybody. Everybody in this room believes in prosperity. I can prove that because how many of you got clothes on? Where'd you get your clothes? How did you get your clothes? You had to have money. You know what? I found this. This is a reality. Those who usually declare against the prosperity gospel are usually those who are living off that same gospel. There's one dude, he lives in a $3 million house, stands up behind his pulpit and preaches against prosperity all the time. But he lives in a $3 million house. Where'd he get it? From the books he sold to you. You see, the fact is you believe in prosperity and you want to prosper. If you did not believe in prosperity, when your boss walks up and says, I'm going to give you a raise, you'd go like this. No, give it to somebody else. How many of you wouldn't mind a raise? So you believe in prosperity. Hallelujah. God said, I want to be like a tree planted by the water brooks that your leaf will never wither and that you will prosper. God wants you to prosper. And when we understand the principle of kingdom and seed, everything that has life is brought from a seed. Seed principles will bring you success. You see, God desires to bring you success in your life. He is not brought you on this planet to survive and barely make it by. He's brought you on this planet to succeed and to be blessed. But Pastor, there are people in other countries that live in poverty. They have no money, but their groceries grow quicker, but their animals are healthier. God will bless you in whatever tender that is necessary. Whatever seed you plant, you shall reap. Well, Pastor, I don't believe in God, and I don't believe in this message. Well, first of all, it really doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not. It still is true. Well, I've had people say to me, I've never seen God, so I can't believe in him. Do you believe in gravity? How many of you have ever seen gravity? Well, I don't believe in gravity. I talked to it, and it didn't talk back to me. Step off a building and see if you still believe in it. Truth is that you can't see gravity, but it is still very real. You might not be able to see real, but the evidence of God is always real, and his principles are yea and amen. And kingdom seed is the principle that God runs by. Last week we started a message on this, and that is the greatest seed that God has given us outside of Jesus. And the greatest seed that he has given you and I is time. Turn to somebody and say, time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking. Into the future. Here is a truth. The truth is that every human being has the same amount of 24 hours as everybody else. Every one of us has the same amount of time in every single day. And we are the culmination of the time and how we have spent it. Well, Pastor, if you understood where I came from, or you understood my parents, or you understood my background and the alcoholism and the abuse, if you understood, Pastor, the poverty that I grew up in, listen, I don't care what you say to me. There's somebody from every one of those backgrounds who's taken the same 24 hours and been successful with them. So does God love them more than you? Absolutely not. So it has nothing to do with your background. It has everything to do with the same 24 hours that somebody else has. We have the responsibility to work time. It is the greatest seed that God has given you outside of the blood of Jesus that washes your sin away. In fact, time is so powerful that what God did was God created time. There's two types of time. There is eternal time. And there is linear time. God lives in eternal time. That is, time he can see the past, the present, and the future all in the same time. There is no constraints in eternal time. But God, in the book of Genesis, created something called linear time. He started by a sun and a moon and a day and a sunshine and a moon. He created 24 hours. A lot of people say, well, you know, I don't understand why God created time if we had eternity. It's very easy to understand. And that is, with God's love and God's foreknowledge, he knew that Adam and Eve were going to turn on him. He knew they were going to sin. If God had not created linear time that could be measured, and whether you like it or not, time is measured. Your time is measured. My time is measured by the same 24 hours that everybody else has. And God knew that if it did not create time, then we would be doomed to death. Why? Because if Adam and Eve had sinned in eternal time, there would have been no opportunity for repentance. When God created linear time, it gives us the opportunity to repent and to take the time to turn around. So God so loved us that he didn't keep us in eternal time. That when Adam and Eve sinned, he gave them opportunity to repent and make their life right. You see, this thing called time literally controls everything about you. When you're born, you get a birth date. That is a time. When you die, you get a death date, which is time. Your whole life, my whole life, is measured by this thing called time. Because time is literally the greatest seed that we have, many of us today are living a harvest from the time that we have spent. We have lived any way we desired. We have walked any way that we wanted. We have served the devil well, or we have just served God enough to get ourselves out of hell. And what's happened is we've seeded our time into things that mean no and have no eternal value. So what occurs is now we reap a harvest. The Bible declares in the book of Ephesians, it says this, "For do not be deceived, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life." Here's the truth, that you and I are literally eating from the harvest of the time that we have spent from the past. Now, people don't like that because we don't want anybody to tell us good or bad about who we are. But the truth is that if you want a different harvest, you have got to plant a different seed. And if you're going to plant a different seed, and the greatest seed that you have is your time, then allowing those 24 hours to be purposed instead of accidental is the plan. No, this is not a time management sermon. This is a life management sermon. Because your life is generated or evaluated by time. Somebody said to me, you know, how come you were a pastor at the age of 24? Well, I'll tell you how. Because I put my time into study. When I was in Bible school, I did not just get up and go to classes. When I was in Bible school, I would be up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I would study 2 hours the book of Proverbs from 2 to 7. Then I would go to breakfast, and then I would go to classes. Classes ended at 3. I would take another 2 hours on top of my Bible college class, and I would study the book of Proverbs. Then I would go hang out with my friends for about an hour, and then I would go back, and I would study till 9 o'clock. I'd go to bed, get back up at 5, and I did that for 2 whole years. I got the word hidden in my heart that I would not sin against him, and I know the scripture. How do I know the scripture? Not by osmosis. I know it because I took the time and invested it and sowed it, and now I'm reaping from that harvest. You see, everything that we do and everything that we are is wrapped around the time that we spend. Now, the word spend is powerful because whether you like it or not, time is money. Time is money. How many of you have heard somebody say that before? My time is money. You've heard me give the example even about some people spend almost $1 million to have lunch with William Buffett. Why? Just to sit down with him, buy him lunch for $1 million so they can sit down and glean some wisdom from him. You know somebody who's a millionaire that truly has done the time and strategically done their time to reap a harvest, even when they struggle and even if they lose everything, they already know how to use the time again to get back another harvest. But most of us don't live that way. Most of us take our 24 hours and we live que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Most of us that are believers don't plan our time and are not precise in how we're going to reap a harvest. But the truth is no matter whether you believe in harvest, seed time and harvest, it doesn't matter. You are still going to reap a harvest from whatever you plant every single day. So isn't it wise? Come on now, can I hear an amen? Isn't it wise to be strategic as a farmer and plant the seeds that you want to obtain a specific harvest? You see, you never plant the seed. You plant for the harvest. That way you know what type of seeds to plant to get what you're going for. It's amazing to me. A farmer would be considered foolish if they went out and planted corn seed and they got mad at the ground because they got peas. They would look at the ground and say, "You're stupid ground. I don't understand what's wrong with you. Where were you? I planted seed. I expected to get peas, but you planted corn." You can never expect to plant something and get something different. Do not be deceived. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. These are the principles that our kingdom principles that we have got to know. And this greatest seed that we have determines the type of life that you're going to live. "Well, you know, Pastor, I'm getting up there in age now. And, you know, I've lived a life of regret." I can't tell you how many people I have met that have lived lives of regret. They look back at their life and they wish they had done it differently. Listen, you can't go back in time, but God has still given you time. For if you have breath, you still have time to plant new seed to get the harvest that you desire. There is a necessity to be plotted and planned and stop using excuses. I think we went Baptist, didn't we? Did we go Baptist in this church? I'm not disrespecting Baptists, but we're shouting in this church. Can I hear an amen? You see, I believe and I've seen that as you and I realize the power of time, we realize that there are limitations. Most people think they got all the time in the world. The fact is you don't. The Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 14, 5 through 7, that our days are numbered. We have numbered months. There are limits you cannot exceed. Talking about time. Psalms 39, verse 4. "I'm only here for a breath of time." Psalms 90, verse 12. "How much do I have to do with my time?" Ecclesiastes 8, verse 6. "There is a proper time for everything." Time is literally so powerful that wherever you plant the seed of time, you will reap a harvest from what you have planted. Amen. I'm a little stubborn this morning. I've already preached this once, and they had better response in the first service. So I'm going to pull it out of you, or we're just going to keep sitting right here. Because you, by saying amen, are not just saying amen. But when you say amen, you're declaring, so be it. You're activating things in the spirit. It's not just a nice little cliche we say in the church. It is a solidifying in your own spirit. Because the words that I speak, the Bible, I'm speaking the word of God. Jesus said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and life." Either the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, or it is not. And if it is, then we've got to say Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Therefore, the words that you're hearing in church are not just some preacher running around near the front of the building, but they're living, breathing words. They're called rhema words that will transform your life. Can I hear an amen? Ooh, I felt Pentecostal there for a moment. Do you know that time is just like money? In fact, you should use your time like money. Can I tell you what I'd like everybody to do? I would like everybody to go get $168 and have them in ones. And I'm going to teach you what I want you to do with them. I guarantee you do this for 2 weeks, your life will transform. Now, here's a truth. Most people that say they want to be happy really don't. Most people that say, I want to be happy, Pastor. I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy in my life. The fact is that most people don't want to be happy. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? It doesn't even make sense. I can tell you why. Because if what they're doing isn't producing the harvest of happiness, then they've got to change the seed, which means they've got to change their life. And most people don't want to change their life because they want to live in inertia. Amen. That was free. I would like you to take $168, and I'm going to teach you what to do with it. Here we go. You see, time is just like money. When you treat your time like money, you actually respect it better. Because when you realize that time is money and money is time, then you learn that you are an investor. Glory to God. You learn that you are an investor. As investors, you recognize that where you plant your investment, if it does not produce a harvest, then you don't want to continue to invest in that location. Amen. My son Chad is having fun. He's getting into this penny stock stuff. And he took $50, right? There's $50 or $40? $40. And he did this penny stock stuff. And he said, I lost some stuff. And He's not going to continue investing in that same investment as a penny stock because he lost, I don't know, $5? He lost $3. No, you need to know he's really cheap. I guarantee he changed his investment and he only lost $3. Why? Because nobody continues to do the same thing, getting a bad harvest, and wondering why it's that way. If we're getting a bad harvest, we've got to change our lives. If we're getting a bad harvest, we've got to change our lives. Watch now. Time can be stolen, just like money. Time can be wasted, just like money. There are time suckers, just like there are money suckers. There are windows of time. Time can be spent. Time can be abused. Time can be lost. How many of you have ever lost money? Time is more powerful than money because when you recognize how to work time, money is easy. Time can be redeemed. The word deemed means purchased or owned. Re means taking back what was lost and now I can have it again. You cannot stop time. You can only choose to manage your time and to sow your time properly to get the specific harvest that you're after. I asked everybody 3 weeks ago to do what was called what? Faith walls. You'd be blown away how many of you out of 1,300 never built a faith wall. The majority of this congregation did not do a faith wall. Well, why? Well, I don't have the... Well, I did not make the... Well, listen, if you have no destination, that means you have no harvest in mind. If you have no harvest in mind, then you'll have no steps to place your time to produce the harvest that you're after. Therefore, this whole year, 2016, will be an accidental year for you that you'll never be able to reproduce with success. And God is saying, isn't it time to start living in blessing and not cursing? Isn't it time to start living in production rather than always deduction? Isn't it time to start having success and start instead of failure? God wants you to build a faith wall so you have a vision in where you're going. See, time is like money. Now I want to show you something I just think is life transforming. I have $168 in ones right here. Piles of 24. which represent? Okay, let's do this then. We got this. $24 represents. How many of you have 24 hours? Well, you pray so. I mean, you don't really know that you do. Because our time is. So let's say you have 24 hours in this day. Let's say a week. In fact, let's look at last week because we're not sure if we have this week. But we know we had last week. So let's look at last week. And I think I'm gonna be really kind with this. We have four different containers. We have eternal. We have temporal. We have wasted. And we have evil. What do we mean by that? Well, we have eternal time that produces eternal results. We have temporal time, which is the things we do in life every single day that really produce no major results in our life. We have what's called wasted time, time that means nothing in our life, that we lose our time with. And then we have evil time, and that is where people invest in the evil, and yet they always seem to want the eternal. So let's just start talking about this now. We have $24, which represents 24 hours. Last week, let's just say you pray an hour a day. That is $7. So you've just prayed 7 hours in a whole week, 1 hour a day. Now let's be honest. The average Christian, actually, the average pastor prays 5 minutes a day. That should scare the bejeebies out of all of us. So here we are. Let's just say you do. You pray 1 hour a day. And then, because the Bible declares that we're called soul winners, the Bible says to go out, it's called the Great Commission, go preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, and if they touch any dead thing, shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So let's say that you take God's word literal, and so for one whole week out of 168 hours, you take 1 hour, and you are sharing Christ with people that you know, planting seeds with your time. Now let's just say that you go to church once a week. That's 2 hours.
2 hours?
You go to the house of God, you sit in the house of the Lord, and for 2 hours you're part of the worship, you're part of the preaching of God's word, and, you know, you come to church 2 hours a week. And then let's say that you are a little bit more persistent and you want more from Christ. So what you do is you go to another class. You go to Rock Solid Faith, or you go to Financial Peace University, or you go to the Healing Journey, or you go to the Maldonado class that's being taught on the supernatural, or you go, there's so many classes in this church. So let's say you take one class out of the week, you spend 2 more hours, and you go and invest in your own spiritual life. That means in one whole week, you've invested 12 hours of your life, or $12 of 168, into what you call eternal time, which you desire to reap eternal harvest out of. How many of you want God's promises? How many of you really want to serve God, not just go to church? Now listen, there is a difference. There are people that just don't want to go to hell, so they come to church to survive. I'm not talking survival Christian. I'm saying you really want God. How many of you really, 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 really want God? Hallelujah. So let's say, let's be honest now. Out of the majority, not the minority, the most that people literally sow of their time into what they want to receive their greatest value from is about 12 hours. Now let's keep going. Because we live in a real world. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So we have what's called temporal time. These are things that you do every single day. Now let's just say you sleep for 7 hours a night. That means you've slept out of 7 days, 49 hours. Here's 24. 16, right? 49 hours of sleep you put in your temporal time. Now you go to work. How many of you know that if you don't work, you don't eat? That wasn't too encouraging. I said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Amen? So you work a 40-hour week. That's 24. How many more? So the other one needed more than 16.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
All right, you slept an extra morning. Okay, so let's go. How many of you eat? You go out to eat, or your wife cooks at home, or you cook at home, and you, let's just say you take about 2 hours a day to cook and eat. Just eat, not cook.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 10, 11, 12,
13. There's 14 more. Then you get ready in the morning. How many of you get dressed? Shower. Everyone raise your hand, even if you don't. Be a liar today.
Hallelujah.
The person next to you is saying, I hope they raise their hand. I hope they raise their hand. I hope they raise their hand. So you spend, let's just say, 1 hour a day. My wife this morning was really kind of funny because we were getting ready, and I needed to be here for 8. I need to leave the house at 8 so I can be here at 10 after 8 because we do TV at 8:15. And so here we are. I needed to get going, and I said to her at like 8:35, I said, listen, how much more time do you need? And she said, 5 more minutes, which is a measurement of time. So I waited 5 more minutes, and that went by. And then at about 8 o'clock, I said to her, honey, are you almost ready, which is a measurement of time? And she said, I'll be ready soon. We got here late, which is a measurement of time. And therefore, when I came to go do the TV stuff, guess what happened? There was no more time. So I did my first opening in the first service. So now I'm going to take time to do the closing of the TV program for next week for CBS. Five, four, three, two, one. Isn't this message on time one that is life transforming for your life? Listen, at His Tabernacle, we care for you. We want you to have God's principles so that you may prosper and live in success in everything you do so you can be an example for God's kingdom. You know, today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, that's the very first place you start. You sow your life. Jesus said, if you want to save your life, you must lose it. If you lose your life, you will save it. I think I got to start over. Okay, here we go. Five, four, excuse me, am I wasting your time? Here we go. Five, four, three, two, one. Isn't this message on time powerful? It will transform your life. You see, at His Tabernacle, our passion is to put the tools in your hand so you can succeed in your life on earth and in heaven. You know, today, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, that's the very first place you've got to start. The people in this room, can I hear from you? Shout amen.
Amen.
They care for you. In fact, we're doing this right now, live, in second service. I want to pray with you. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Bow your head with me right now. If you want to take the time to give your life to Jesus, your life is time. Bow and pray with me right now, wherever you are watching on this television. In Jesus' name, come on, right out loud. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, that you made time for me to be saved. Right now, in Jesus' name, I will capitalize on this moment. I ask you, Jesus, to be the Lord of my life. I surrender. I give you my life. So that you can live yours through me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we want to celebrate. Come on here, shout. If you prayed that prayer, you're now born again according to the word of God. We have a Bible for you. We want to pray for you. You need to join an H-Link, maybe jump into Rock Solid Faith. We'd love to have you here, 16 Level Acres Drive, every Sunday morning, 9 or 11. I'll see you in just a little bit. Cut. All right, here we go. Time. It's amazing to me that, well, let's just say this one thing. Hopefully, for your marriage's sake, you're going on a date every week. So I'm going to give you 3 hours for the date. Is that fair? Here we go. Ladies, that was your moment. You missed it. So now let's watch. In eternal time, you have 12. In temporal time, you have 116. Then we waste time. How many of you waste time? Sure. Sure, we all do. You know, the average, it's crazy. The average person watching TV in America is 5 hours a day. So we're not going to give you that much. Is that all right? We're only going to give you, let's just say we're going to give you 2 hours a day. That's 14. Oh, by the way, your TV time already outdid your eternal time. Then you got to go to work. Let's just say let's say 3 hours a week. So I'll give you three. One, two, three. To drive, I'm sorry. You got to drive to work. That's not what I said? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong one. Well, let's just talk Facebook. Let's just talk the internet. Let's just talk Bejeweled. What's that other one? Twitter. What is it? Candy Crush. Clash. Smallville. Madden. You know, last week was crazy because we're sitting on the couch, right? We're sitting on our couch, and all of the young people are sitting, there's five of them, sitting on the couch, all playing Madden on their phones. And they're yelling at each other because they're playing each other. Go outside. How many hours do you waste on your phone? Let's be honest, man. You're not getting anything out of it. So here we are. We've got wasted time. Let's just be nice about this. And let's give you an hour a day. One, two, three, four, five, and six. Seven. I was thinking better of somebody. And then what we do is we have people that sow in evil all the time. So what do we mean they sow evil? The Bible says, don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he of the flesh reaps corruption. If he sows to the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. So what happens is we have people, let's just say, you're out partying. We'll give you 3 hours for a party. Is it longer than that? Four? Five? I need the partiers to talk to me. Six? Oh, that's pretty good. 6 hours for partying? You want more? Jody, she was a party freak, let me tell you. So we got people out partying and, you know, living lives they're not supposed to be living. You know, what's kind of scary is that you got 24 hours in a day, you got 168 hours in a week, and let's just say you're living together. You've taken the whole $168 and you put it here. But strangely enough, you want something from here. I felt it getting quiet in the place. Come on now, we're talking straight up, aren't we? Would you rather me just dance around the tube, or you want me to just hit the elephant where it is? The fact is that if you sow in evil, you cannot be shocked when you reap nothing of eternal. Do not be deceived. Don't lie to yourself. You cannot sow in evil and reap from eternal. Now, it's amazing to me. Now, listen, we got a lot of leftover time. Strangely enough, that is called wasted time. How much wasted time do we have? We have 29 hours a week that we can't even count for. Do you know most people are poor financially because they don't work off a budget, and what they end up doing is they end up spending in so many different areas. They just go to Weiss and they buy a chocolate bar. Then they go to the gas station and spend $5 more there, and maybe they need a soda, so they get a soda every single day, and all of a sudden their money's all piddled away, and they wasted their money, and they don't even know where it went. How many of us waste our time, the greatest seed that God has given us, and we don't even know where it has gone, and we're shocked when we're sitting back and reaping a harvest that we don't want in our life, but yet we can't even take our wasted time and lasso it. We can't even control that, but that is what God has told us to do. So let me tell you how it usually goes. You see, what usually happens is this. When you need extra time beyond what you've already wasted, what most people do is, most people don't pray an hour a day. So let's be gracious. Let's say you pray 30 minutes a day. Let's just take $3 out or 3 hours out of your prayer life. Where are you usually going to put that? Where are you going to use it? You're usually going to put it like hanging out with your friends. Then, you know, the average person in this church only goes to church every 3 weeks. So instead of sowing our week in church, we take it out and we sleep in, or we go to the zoo. One guy said to me, "I can't come to church, Pastor, because it's NASCAR season." So you ever notice that most people, when they start taking extra time, even though they've lost and wasted all this other time, they end up taking time out of the eternal time. They take time out of what God's passion is. They take it out of God's cistern, and they put it back into the temporal. Now, you know, we started with 12 here. What do we got left? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But if you're not going to church, you're probably not going to go to that extra service during the week. You're probably not going to go to Rock Solid Faith because, well, I already graduated. You know what? Don't tell me you've already graduated Rock Solid Faith. I've been teaching it for 18 years, and I still learn in Rock Solid Faith. The day you stop learning is the day you start dying. We've got all these classes. Watch. So now you're not only going to church that week, but now you're taking stuff out. Well, it's family stuff, Pastor. We're going to go do some family stuff. That's beautiful. You can invest in your family and damn them to hell, because without Jesus being the pinnacle of your family, you have no foundation. For Jesus is the only foundation that we should have. So we take out of the eternal. Now we're not going to go to the extra class. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to go to the zoo. We're going to go to the park. We're going to go to baseball. We're going to go watch some football. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with all those things. Let me tell you the greatest tactic in a person's life with time. The greatest thief of time is good things, not bad things. You'll notice that most people don't live in this one. They'll invest a little, but they don't live there. Most people, what they do is they live in this one. And there's no value there. We drain this one. But yet that's the one we want the longest return from. Where are you putting your time? You remember I told you about that guy? Sorry, I'm late. I went over time. I had this guy say to me, I was a youth pastor, and he invited me to his house. And he wanted to talk to me about his daughter. So I get to this house, And this guy's big. He's a old CO, and he had hurt himself. He's big. Big guy. And he stood on the other side of the kitchen table, and he says, I got a problem with you, preacher. I was scared. No, really, I was scared. I got a problem with you. I said, well, what's the problem? My daughter's been going to your church. She's worse. I said, really? Now, I knew there was a table between us, and I had already mapped my way out of the house. And I said to him, that's very interesting. I said, we get her for an hour to an hour and a half a week. I said, how much rock and roll, because rock and roll was playing in the house. I said, how much rock and roll do you let her listen to? I said, how much TV do you let her have anytime? And he said, well, she can have watch TV whenever she wants. I said, how many hours does she go to school? I said, you want to give her an hour and a half and expect us to transform her life, which is only Jesus' job anyways. But if she's only investing an hour and a half in life and everything else everywhere else, then my goodness. Can only get penny stocks. Penny returns. Pennies. Why do we deceive ourselves so badly and think that we can sow everywhere else, but God owes us to return from here? It's self-deception. The people that grow the most in the kingdom of God, simple, are the people that take the time to get up maybe a little bit early and read the word. They are the people that make the time to pray. You'll never have enough time because your flesh won't let you. They make the time to pray. They make it to service every single Sunday. And then what they do is they make sure they're at least in one class a week. I've been preaching now for 26, almost 27. Those are the people that excel in their walk with God. And then what happens is after they graduate a class, they stop, they take out, come on now, they take out the money, the time that they were going to that class, and now they spend it at home. And I start watching them decline. Now, as a pastor, you can't make people follow God. But why would you think that you can return a supernatural return? Come on now, let's be real. If you invest nothing in your marriage, you're going to be divorced. You invest nothing in your children, they're going to be hellions. You invest nothing in your health, you're going to die. You invest nothing in your finances. When Social Security dies, so do you. You invest nothing in God. Why do you think that you're going to go to heaven? Well, let's say you do. Why do you think that you're going to be able to get the promises of God? It's self-deception. What do you want from Jesus? What do you want God to do in your life? Where do you want to be next year at this time in your walk with the heavens? Where do you want to be in your knowledge of the King? Where do you want to be in your success and your health and your wealth and your finances? Where do you want to be with your family? Where do you want to be? You see, that means you must take the time that has been given to you and allocate it properly so that you will receive the reward from the investment that you are placing. It is not going to happen on accident. It is not going to fall out of heaven. This is not Newton getting hit by the apple under the tree. This is the laws of gravity. What you sow, you shall reap. How you spend your time, you will have a harvest. What is your life harvesting? Bow your heads with me this morning. You've watched this clock go around all service long. It's made more than one round. You know what's amazing? Is Marge is back there turning it. She's making the time move. Listen, you can't make time move, but you can manage the time that you have moving. Today, if you had to say your life was a blessing or a cursing, today, if you had to say, Lord Jesus, I'm participating with a harvest that I do not want. Thank God for time, because you can change it. Some of you need to repent. Some of you, I'd like to walk down and slap you right in the head in the love of Jesus. No, really. Because I'm watching you destroy yourself. I'm watching you make time decisions that are destroying your life, and you won't listen. But you will reap a harvest. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know that God has a dynamic plan for you, and that your time, even your breath, has dynamic purpose. Bow your heads with me for a moment of time. Today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, two people accepted Jesus as their Savior in first service. Their time has now changed. They're not just linear, now they're eternal. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you want your sins washed away. You want time to change for you. You have this moment. Jesus said, now is the day, which is a timetable of salvation. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want you to know that this moment, your whole life can change. Time changes when you give your heart to the Lord. Is there anyone here this morning that would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, thank you, sir. 3, yes, thank you. Thank you, the whole row of young people. Come on, get your hand up. 2, come on. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand right there. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else? Come on. Last call. 1. Let's all stand this morning. I know at times that the messages seem strong. But you see, we're living in the signs of the times that say we don't have much left. Marge, I'm not going to break it, but get ready. That's where we are in time. Jesus is coming. It's not like it used to be. Christ is coming. We've got to pay attention to the time we have. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Father, I just release a blessing in the house this morning in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare, God, that we will have a divine revelation in the Spirit, that the minds of our understanding will be opened, and that, Holy Spirit, you will show us that, Lord, you have great things for us. We have great harvest for us in every area of our life. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will birth within us a designed timetable that we can reap the harvest of destiny. That, Lord, when our days are over, when our name is written on that stone and the date of our deceasing on this planet has been written, that, Lord, we will regret nothing, but, God, we have moved forward and we have done great things for the heavens. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this awesome day that we have for you. And, Lord, today is the day that we will serve you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, and everybody receiving amen. I said, everybody receiving said, we love you. The prayer team's going to be around the front of the altar. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'd like you to meet me. Be brave. Grab the person next to you. Meet me right up here, right up front. Right now, I want to minister to you. I want to lead you to Jesus, the best friend you will ever have. If you are here this morning, raise your hand. Come right on out. Meet me up front.